Did you hear that they're doing a Fallout movie?
Well, I saw the, you mean the TV show?
Or TV show, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, the, yeah, yeah, the Amazon show?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, it's just, like, so funny that they announced that right after we did our bracket.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, damn it!
we should have done
Fallout 4!
It would have been topical.
Well, I mean,
it's coming out in April, right? We could do, like...
Oh, we could. Oh, yeah, and actually, that's the fourth month of the year? Maybe.
One sec. Fallout TV show release date. Yep, all episodes drop April 12th.
Okay, cripes.
Then we could do... that could be Fallout month, because we could also do, like, an episode on the TV show.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm like, not looking forward to that, because I'm not going to enjoy watching it, but I do want to.
You know what I'm enjoying watching? I'm enjoying watching Silo, that show on Apple TV.
Mm.
It's kind of like Fallout if it was good. Also, it's got Rebecca Ferguson. She is great in it. I don't know.
Yikes.
I don't know if our audience is ready for my Fallout hot takes.
Oh no, they're gonna have to be at some point. Let's get started. Welcome to Storm Buds, everybody. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello, Alexander.
Boy, this is going to be a fun one.
This is going to be a fun one for sure.
Unlike all the other episodes we record that are just
agony.
Huge slogging chores.
Pretty much. I'm just kidding. I love you guys. If you're new here, this is a Final Fantasy XIV themed video game podcast. It's just a video game podcast, but we started out playing Final Fantasy XIV from start to finish. Well, from start to Endwalker, beginning to Endwalker, as you might say. Ho ho. And you can check out our first 45 episodes on that to get caught up if you want, but you can also just... Well, this episode, and it'll help you prepare for this episode, because we are going to be talking about Final Fantasy XIV once again. We're not necessarily doing a recap. What we're doing today is we are going to be reviewing and rating the patches, the major patches from 2.0 to 6.5. And that's something we've just been really looking forward to, just taking a broader look at the game as a whole and sort of the history and getting into the nitty gritty of what's good and what's shitty. I'm poetic.
You're okay. Doing great. Was that off the dome?
It was off the dome. That was a good one. But first, as usual, we're going to get distracted, kind of distracted with our the exclamation points all across the map, the Chadley Towers, the Chocobo stops. We've got a whole quest log to fill up. Or actually to unfill up, because we're going to be completing our quests. I don't really know the logistics
of
my own bit.
The metaphor is never fully tracked for me.
Whatever. We're going to talk about our quest log. Alex, what's been in your quest log lately?
I booted up a little bit of... Sorry. BeamNG.drive?
Correct!
Okay,
that's our newfound adventure this month.
Yes, we are going to be playing and streaming some BeamNG.drive over the course of the month. I've had a very busy week. I do not have much time to put into it, but I can describe to you the process of the first 15 or so minutes I spent playing around with it.
Yeah.
So I downloaded it,
mm-hmm.
and I installed it, and then I booted it up.
It's huge, by the way.
Yeah, it's very large, 50 gigabytes for some reason, which
it's such
also
an old game.
Maybe explains why when I navigated through the bare bones menu and just picked some figure eight arena, it dropped me in, and then it took a good 15 seconds for all of the geometry in the landscape to load in one element at a time in a way that I have not seen a game do in quite a long time. And then I had this moment where I was like, okay, I've got a pickup truck. I've got a racetrack in front of me. Let's drive on it. And I pressed the W key, thinking the W key would make the car drive forward.
You can customize the controls completely, though.
Yes, but by default, drive these cars with the arrow keys.
With the arrow keys, yeah.
And at that point, I was like, oh, now we're cooking. Okay. Because this game came out in 2013 or 2003, okay? I'm getting flashbacks to getting home from Office Max with my dad, and I've got a new piece of software, a CD-ROM and a jewel case we grabbed from the checkout lane. and it's going to be some racing game that'll barely run on my grandpa's old computer that he gave us hand-me-down.
Or Myst 3 Exile.
Or Myst 3 Exile, which came on 4 discs.
But... Oh my god. I have no clue.
I don't know. And then I decided to boot up a different arena. So I saw one that was just called Cliff. And so I opened up the Cliff one, and my truck was on the top of a cliff. And I drove it forward off the cliff, and it just fell down to the bottom over the course of about 2 solid minutes of continuous damage. And by the time it reached the bottom, it resembled a crushed soda can.
Incredible.
Yeah. I haven't done much more than that yet, but those were my initial BeamNG.drive impressions.
Dude. I also fired up BeamNG.drive. I linked a tutorial in our Discord. You can find the link in the description in the link pop. And I started watching that, and I did like the first, they had mentioned that if you go into the campaigns, you might find a tutorial one. And that's what I did just to get my feet wet. And also I turned the graphics way down because I mean, I don't think this is like, it's either... I don't think it's super well optimized.
No,
it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't seem well optimized at all.
It does not have to be. It's been early access for a decade. It's just kind of one of those things. But like, once the game started loaded and I was like in the control of a car, I was like, oh wait, this game feels really good.
It feels very good. Yeah, that was what surprised me.
This game is good.
For all the jank that I've seen, I was expecting it to feel kind of sloppy, but actually it feels really good to make the cars go.
It does one thing perfect, and it makes that car go. It makes that car go good, and you can download any car you want.
I took a bit of a peek. There are a lot of them.
There are a lot of really good, really cool cars, and I'm like, uh-oh, this might just be fun.
I think we're going to have some fun.
This is, yes, I did the tutorial where they have little loops with checkpoints and stuff, and they say, hey, park here, whatever, do this, don't touch any of the things, and then, you know, on the cones or obstacles or whatever, and you get used to it. This, I got to spend more time before we stream it, fixing up my controls and stuff like that, and watching the rest of that tutorial. Because this is like learning, it's like learning Blender or something, you know? You're like...
It's a tool set. It's a tool set and a game.
It is. It is. Maybe not Blender. Maybe like Photoshop or something. Blender.
I used to 3D model for a living, and I still cannot use Blender. Blender is a nightmare.
Blender is a powerful tool that is so inscrutable that I can't imagine it. So that's been my experience with BeamNG.drive. Also in my quest log, continuing to play Balatro, have unlocked most of the decks and done a couple of those decks on one of the higher difficulties now, kind of getting into the swing of things, feeling really great about that game, which is weird that I'm still playing it while Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is still out, and I still have yet to finish that, which has also been really good. I'm more confident on talking about some of the details now without spoiling anything, of course, but you know, it had just come out when our last episode aired, and I was like, I'm going to withhold a little bit of judgment. I really am liking my time with it so far. And that's what it is. It's not an all-encompassing game that's making me like lose track of time, like Tears of the Kingdom or Baldur's Gate 3. That's like, okay, I can't put this down. I do, in fact, need to put it down after a while because it's more of a relaxing sort of adventure game with a really wonderfully written cast of characters that I am super in love with and enchanted with. But like, I'm not... and with a really, really excellent combat system, but it just has such like a, it does have such a sort of segmented gameplay loop that like there's, you're not, it doesn't have that sort of addicting, like just one more thing to do feel of like Tears of the Kingdom. It has an open world segment to it, but you're never, but I'm maybe later, I'm in the third zone now. I haven't ever felt like I was sort of in a loop of discovering things. I always felt like there was a list of things to do to check off, and I wasn't really accidentally discovering new and fantastic things as I explore the world. I'm enjoying exploring the world, and I'm enjoying the banter between the cast as I do so, but I'm not, you know, it's crafted in such a way that allows me to take breaks pretty easily. Good. So advantages to both kinds of games. I'm really enjoying it, and I will continue to play it.
Honestly, that makes it sound more up my alley. I'm kind of like not, it's easier for me to bounce off of games that try and get you into that sort of compulsive loop type thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm more into something that's going to let me just kind of chill out.
Well, don't start with Rebirth. Do not. That is not the place to start. Start with Remake.
I'm going to start with Remake. I've owned a copy for years. I need to play it.
Wow. That's funny. Yeah, they're two very... It's such an interesting way that they've handled this entire process, and we can get into it more once you actually do play those.
Yeah, yeah, because like all like the...
You haven't played the original.
I have not played past like disc one of the original, which I played like three mm-hmm. times with a friend in middle school.
Right. Okay. Well, Remake is going to be real familiar to you then. Okay. We will get started with our tier list ranking. As I've segmented it, Tears of the Sand, you know, that fantastic Shadowbringers MSQ quest that happens right after Tesseline transforms.
Right. Tears. That's what that's called.
Tears in the Sand. But we will get to it right after this commercial break.
We're gonna read some ads.
You've heard of the latest technology in gaming, GameSense, for video games, right? The headset that puts odors into your nostrils and body as you experience gaming, like Explosion. That's a real thing. And StormBuds has had the fantastic opportunity to partner with GameSense, but for films. Have you ever wanted to smell what it was like when the nuclear bomb went off that Oppenheimer designed? Did you look at Margot Robbie's arch feet and think, I bet those smell lovely like lilacs in the Barbie movie? Well, then do I have the technology for you? Introducing snuff films.
No, we... What?
with snuff films, you can get a big whiff of such scintillating cinematic scents as Elio Peach.
He told me he had an idea.
And 4 pounds of nuts from Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
I figured I'd let him take this one.
And Bottom of Well with Corpse in It.
From The Ring?
That's Sadako. Plus, the aforementioned nuclear fission scents that you've always wanted to smell in your theaters and also in your home. Get both the theater and home package to make it so that everyone else in the theater gets to smell what you smell. It is a, you know those computers from the 1950s? It's a big one of those with a fan on it and a bunch of diffusers that smell just like the electromagnetic pulse that Jim Carrey gets in his brain in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind when he loses his memory.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like ozone. It's just static.
It fills your house with ozone, famously good for your health.
And if you sign on to the theater and home bundle now with access with the promo code StormBuds, you get access to the season one DLC of snuff films with such scents as ass to ass, freshly sliced Oren Ishii brain, No Faces Bathwater, and Tetsuo! You've always wondered what Tetsuo smelled like when he was growing, right? You know, Kairi got a real good whiff of that.
Oh, Game Sense with a S-C-E-N-T-S. I was looking up all the other products, and I was like, what are you talking about?
That one's real.
Okay, this one is real. Okay, sorry. The premise of this ad makes way more sense now. Yeah, yes. Yes, and I would love to smell Tetsuo's body as he bloats up right before...
Go to snufffilms.biz. That is S-N-U-P-H. Sorry. Let me take that again. That is snufphilms.org/join. And join with the promo code StormBuds to get 10% off your theater and home version of snuff films. And we're back. Thank you so much to the sponsor of this week's episode of StormBuds. We are now going to continue with our Tears on the Sand segment. That's right. What we're going to do, we're going to rank. We have a tier maker of all the patches, major patches. That's 2.0, 2.1, 2.2. None of the 0.55s, none of the 0.218s, right? We're not doing that.
Sure. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
There's already enough in here.
We're going to go 2.0 to 6.5. And you've played up to 6.5 now, right?
Yes, I have, yes.
Awesome. So you're ready. You're ready for Dawn Trail, mostly, probably, right?
Mostly.
Not 6.55, which
no,
is
like, I got up to six into 6.5, and I was like, I don't have time.
That's
I
okay.
Need to just...
I think 6.55 is a treat, but you know, so I'll let you. I'll chime in on that. So I will give you all the criteria of what we're kind of looking for. We're looking for the quality of the content that was added, like the MSQ, the raids, the trials, notable side content, quality of life changes that matter. System, general system improvements, which kind of lumps into quality of life changes.
Oh, geez, I don't know most of these.
Well, they're in the patch. They're in the patch notes. We're going to go on the Final Fantasy console games. Final Fantasy? Did I say that wrong? Probably.
Are you doing all right tonight?
No. So Final Fantasy, the wiki, and they will list all the improvements that they made. So we'll get into that as they come. And I also want to clarify what we're not looking for. We're not looking for bug fixes. We're not looking for the kind of small balance changes. And I think most importantly, we're not looking at extreme and savage content for sure. Our purposes. We are not experts in that. I've heard things. I've done some, very few extreme and savage content. You guys can let us know in our Discord, right? We talk about this after the fact. If you're a savage or extreme raider, which of the patches were great for you and which were an absolute nightmare, you can let us know, because I'd be curious to see. With that being said, anything else you want to get out of the way before we start?
Nope, let's get into it.
I'll get one thing out of the way. Y'all, this isn't serious. It's just the opinions of the two of us in this moment in time. Those things may have been different in the past, and they may change in the future. I just find that, you know, once you take a stand on something and then you put that stand on the internet, people are going to come at you and they're going to do everything they can to find every inconsistency.
Sure.
Everything so they can, right?
These are our opinions on this date that we are recording in early March 2024.
Yep. Just letting you know, that's what it is, and it's just for funsies. We're going to start with, of course, A Realm Reborn 2.0.
Oh, okay.
We're doing 2.0. And what was in 2.0, Alex?
Pretty much the entire game.
Pretty much. So it was and this counts as a patch because, you know, 1.0 existed. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
That's why we're starting here. Total redesign and rebuild. Rebuild of the game from scratch with a new engine, all the combat classes, jobs, dungeons, systems, trial system, raids, the fates, you know, everything that we take for granted now.
So this one's tricky out of the gate because on the one hand, clearly, from everything I have heard, massive improvement over 1.0 in just about every regard.
Yes.
On the other hand, I did not find most of the story content in 2.0 to be particularly compelling, especially compared to what's going to come later. So, like, are we ranking it sort of like based on how it was when it came out, or with sort of foreknowledge of like what the whole Final Fantasy XIV experience will become?
Well, I think the only thing we can do for system changes, which I do want to include, is we can only rank them as they came out. And what system changes did it add? Oh, just about all of them, right? It added a whole bunch of dungeons, but like specifically it added dying pieces, or it fixed dying pieces so that they no longer literally change the gear stats. Why teleporting no longer required a rechargeable timed resource. It's just a little bit of money instead. Could you imagine?
Yeah, insane.
New gender options for existing races, so female Highlanders, male Makoti, no Grahatia in 1.0, and female Rogadin. Those were added in 2.0, and most importantly, market boards. You couldn't freaking sell things.
Wait, what? How did the economy work?
It didn't.
Okay.
That's why this game was a disaster.
Look, okay, I'm okay with putting this one high up just because it is the foundation on which everything else is based, but like, is it an A tier? Is it an S tier? Like, what do you think?
First, this is an MMO that came out in 2013. In that context, it has to be an S tier.
Okay.
Because it is a story, like, what was its competition at the time? World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor? I don't know. Rift? Like,
Guild Wars 2
Guild Wars
wasn't
2?
Doing anything.
That has a story, but it didn't have like a complete story from start to finish with a narrative, even though there's some baffling moments. But still, a lot, cast of mostly lovable characters and intrigue and like a relationship that you are building with your cast of characters as a MMO protagonist. I think that's it's pretty groundbreaking.
Okay, we can put A Realm Reborn as S tier.
We gotta start with S. Next up, 2.1.
Fuck Copperbell Mines.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that shit. Well, we already talked about it. All right. Starting with patch 2.1, A Realm Awoken. What did this add? Okay. So this specifically added the main story, which we'll recap in a bit, a little bit. It added the first chapter of Hildebrand, which you've not done yet, but pretty interesting. It added Labyrinth of the Ancients, first chapter of Crystal Tower, some dungeons, the Moogle. Mostly, this is the Moogle stuff, and it also added the first Extreme Trials. And it also added PvP as well, and the treasure hunt system, the free company housing system, so not private houses yet, and added the roulette and the esthetician. Like, okay. Huge patch.
They're still adding a lot into this game at this
point.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That being said, is this, I think it's a good patch. Is this an S tier patch?
I don't think so. The story content here, though, I think is like off to a bit of a slow start. I still feel like we're kind of like faffing about a little bit. Like, for those reasons, like I'm going to be grading mostly on story just because like the stuff I have the most exposure to. I mean, I think this could go in like the B tier, which like is like it's adding a lot of like good functional system type stuff.
So,
but it's not really excelling. It's not really soaring.
So specifically what's happening is that the Cyans have established new headquarters in Mordona. So no more Waking Sands. This is also the Muggle Mog patch. So there's a bit of the issue with the Ivy kind of subplot, I think, is starting here, if I'm not mistaken. And we have to deal with the Muggle's Guard. So I'm in agreement. I think this is a good patch system-wise and additional-wise, and content-wise. Like the first extreme ones, it's kind of cool. It also added next chapter, the relics, and whatever. I'm probably not going to talk too much about relics. I think this is a good patch, but not a great one. I'm happy to put it in B.
Okay, I think this is a B.
Oh boy, next patch, Through the Maelstrom. This is I'm high on this one. I'll say right now, this is the Leviathan patch. Adds the notably the Lost City of Amdapur, really cool dungeon. More Beast Tribe stuff. I don't think I mentioned that last patch also had Beast Tribe stuff. Like those.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was a couple of them in there. This one has the Sahagin and the Kobolds, both of which we like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also the system changes. Most importantly, glamours.
Oh, okay. Yeah, super important. Makes the game's cosmetic system work.
Yeah, it's the true end game. And I think the content of the story was good. It was the Leviathan stuff, so we had all that stuff with Minfilia. Minfilia, but what's her name? Merovib. Wow, I forgot. Where she shot everyone. And I think we were also introduced to the Domans.
Yeah,
as well.
they first show up here. So I think Yugiri shows up here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are you thinking for Through the Maelstrom?
I mean, I'm also fine with this one being a B.
B?
Or do you think that's too low?
So you think I think it's a step above A Realm Awoken.
Okay, okay.
I think the story content was a lot better. I mean, we met a lot of really good characters.
Good characters and stuff.
In Doma, and the Leviathan stuff was really cool and not annoying.
Do we think there are patches we're going to put down in like the C, D, E, and E tier?
I think so.
Okay. I've got a couple in mind from 6.
I think
from the
so.
6
let's get
point
there.
X. Okay, we'll
Ooh,
get there. Okay.
Let's get there. So I'm going to put that in A, especially just because also glamour.
Okay, glamour. Big deal.
Big
Super
deal.
Important.
Big deal. Big deal. Next patch, 2.3. Defenders of Eorzea is the third major content update. And this also included, it included the Circus Tower Alliance raid. So the second chapter of that came out.
The Circus Tower? Circus Tower. Okay.
I always call it Circus Tower. I don't know. Maybe I'm lazy. Circus Tower. The Trials, Striking Tree, Hard and Extreme. So, and the second Coil of Bahamut as well. So that tier 9 fight with like Nail. This is pretty nuts. I'm not a savage raider, but I've heard that this is one of the hardest fights ever for time, and also people just didn't really understand
what striking tree.
No, the tier 9 or turn 9 of
the Bahamut savage. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
System wise, desynthesis, it's nothing huge really.
Chocobo raising.
Oh, they added personal housing in this one.
Okay.
Whatever. And they also added the sprout status.
Okay. Well, as someone who spent 60+ hours being annoyed by that, that might knock a few points off this one.
Oh, you didn't like that. A lot of people love the sprout. I think most people do. But yeah, if you were annoyed by it, then I guess that's
I was fine with it up until the point where like I was like, okay, but like I've beaten Shadowbringers. Am I really still a sprout?
Yeah. Story beats Revolution, the Teleji et Allegi was trying to dig for Omega. We didn't know it was Omega at the time, but they did. The Lord of Levin, Sylphs were going nuts, summoning those
things. Okay, actually, I did like this stuff.
And the Crystal Braves were starting.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm into all the story stuff here. This is when the story, starts kicking into gear for me. So like I get a few points in this one.
Okay.
Is this like a B though? Because the system stuff isn't super.
I was thinking it was either a B or a C. For me, the story was starting to pick up, but it was still the Crystal Brave stuff was like,
okay, this can be a C tier.
I want to go C. It felt like, and the Circus Tower stuff was not really the super exciting part of that raid series. So I'm going to put it C. I think it's a step below A Realm Awoken. Okay. Moving right along. We're making good pace. 2.4. Okay. Sorry. I'm doing it all over again. Oh God. I'm saying the wrong numbers all over again. Can't wait till we get to Stormblood. Okay. So 2.4, Dreams of Ice, Shiva, Snowcloak, and the final coil of Bahamut. So the big book merging, Phoenix and Bahamut fight, and Grandfather.
And is this when we're also first meeting, Izael?
Kind of. I mean, yeah, she summons Shiva, so I think so.
Okay, so we're starting to like lay the active groundwork for. I guess I forgot that we were getting some of the stuff that was explicitly going to be Heavensward this early on. I thought the Heavensward stuff really didn't start until after the
kind of. Yeah, I mean they've always done. They hook things in. We start to deal with some of the issues because we want Ishgard's help with the Garlean nonsense.
Right. Okay, that's how that comes in.
And then they're like, "Well, help us out." Also notably, and this has never been done again for a reason, they added a new class in 2.4. They added Rogue and Ninja.
Oh, okay. This is when this happened.
Yeah. That turned out to be a disaster.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm going to actually be down on this, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, for as much as this is setting up the Heavensward stuff, this is when all the heretic shit is happening.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate the dragon heretic shit. It makes no sense and is stupid. Part of that is going to come up, like, part of that's because I was reminded of it because I was doing the Dark Knight quests and it comes up again there.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about those in another episode. But as much as I like Izael and the Shiva fight itself, the setup to it is a little annoying, and the amount of times I've gotten Snowcloak in roulette has just pissed me off so much. I'm so fucking done with Snowcloak. The amount of times I've had to run it for the dang
is this a relic.
I think just and also just upsetting the whole game by putting a job in the middle of this. What a disaster of a path.
You know, actually,
this is kind of a D.
I mean, look, like Izael's great, but
this is going to piss people off.
She can't save it. Like it's like, look,
it's not an F.
She is.
I'll tell you that much.
The fact that she comes in this one is like is the only thing keeping this above water, because otherwise
the story beats of the final coil of Bahamut are nice.
Yes, those are good, but I hate the
voice acting. It's still a Realm Reborn voice acting. It's all being drugged down by that.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from Izael, I guess, but.
Okay.
Yep.
next one then is going to be
Before the Fall.
S tier. Still.
I mean, I think Dreams of Ice is part of why people are like, God, this is like, that's like that post A Realm Reborn MSQ slog, right? And you're just like, you just have to make it through 2.4. Please make it to 2.5. Once you make it to 2.5, it happens.
Like, do we have much to say about 2.5?
Well, let's say what it is. Yeah, it's the finale for World of Darkness. It's the Before the Fall Part 1 and 2 quests with everything there. The Keeper of the Lake dungeon. The Steps
what
of Faith trial.
I don't remember this.
That's where we met Midgard's armor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the ship.
These just never come up in roulette, and so, like,
Yeah, not really. Yeah, nothing much system change-wise. They just finished up the original relics, which is not really that notable. But yeah, the story beats, we also had the fall of the Crystal Braves, the bloody banquet, the assassination attempt on Nanamo, falling from exile, disbanding the Scions. S-tier.
All of that stuff is still so cool.
Still really cool. What an absolute swing that this game takes with its story. And it totally, mostly pays off. We'll get to the payoff later, but for now, we're going to talk about 3.0. Now, of course, the expansions are going to have a little bit of an advantage over the patch content because there's so much added, three jobs or whatever, and that are actually mostly well-made from Heavensward.
There is. Heavensward is like... I want to be clear here. Heavensward 3.0, not the post-patch stuff.
Yeah.
All of the great stuff about Heavensward, mm-hmm. like all the great zones and the music.
Yeah.
And all of that.
That counts.
All of that is balancing for me against the fact that, like, the primary plot involving Thordin is the plot of... It is the thing that I recall the least of. Like, yeah. I can tell you so little of what happens in Heavensward from
apart
a plot
from,
perspective.
Apart from Orshifan dying, yeah.
Yeah. Like, other than that, I'm like, oh, yeah,
and
we were, like,
and Azel,
it's a
I guess.
Confrontation up the... on the... Yeah, but, like, but even her stuff, I'm trying to, like, piece together in my head, like, where it all fits.
Well, she was the... I mean, we could talk all about it. She thought she was the dragon consort. She wasn't. She was just summoning Shiva.
Right.
And that's where we learned that, you know, primals aren't what we think they are, kind of, necessarily.
Okay, and that was all in 3.0?
Yeah, it was all in 3.0. And then okay. Thordin knew that, too, and became King Thordin as well. And it's also when La Habrea dies, too. But yeah, like, not as important, but not super iconic and breathtaking.
But also that music.
The music, the scenery, the gameplay, the classes they added.
We get Dark Knight and
Astrologian and Machinist. Really cool. Unfortunately, I mean, Astro's still a problem child, unfortunately. It's been reworked every expansion. So,
I used to really like playing Astro. Now that I've gotten to high level Astro, I see what you mean. I'm like, I have no idea what to do here. why do I have four abilities that are basically
bloated.
The same?
Also added Alexander, Gordius, which was... kind of cool, the goblin stuff. I mean, yeah, we like the Alexander stuff, so that's always going to bump these patches up. And let's look at the system changes. Mac OS support added. I didn't know that. That's cool. And then collective specialists. So a bunch of crafting updates, which were necessary, but not super, super relevant to our purposes today.
This could be an A.
I was thinking A.
I think A.
Down on it, but let's actually put the... Like, no, this is still really good. It's still really, really good.
There's a lot of good stuff in here.
I don't think it made that many improvements over Final Fantasy A Realm Reborn to merit A Realm... Like, you know how A Realm Reborn gets its S tier. You know, as far as expansions go, it is more of a good thing, but it's not like a complete overhaul of like amazing everything.
But man, having played this Dark Knight quest up to 60 now, though,
oh yeah,
I'm like, why aren't the other job quests this good? Like, I did the dancer quests also. The dancer quests are not this good.
You gotta save it. That's a hint. Yeah, no. I mean, that's Naoto Ishikawa for you. She became the lead writer of Shadowbringers for a reason.
It's just this weird blip, though, of like, I haven't played any other job quests that are anywhere near as like...
because they're not.
...flushed out and thorough.
I mean, the Astrologian ones are funny, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, no, the job quests are good. Anyway, A for Heavensward. As goes light, so goes darkness. I was about to put it somewhere. Let's talk about this one. 3.1. This was when I came into the game. This was my... I came in 3.05, so this is my first patch, living and breathing and experience.
First big update.
Yeah. Do you have things...
Primary thing here.
Yeah.
This is the Void arc, which is going to hurt it.
That's not good. Which, it was my first Alliance raid, and it was cool, because I was like, oh, I've never done these before. But like everyone that had done Crystal Tower was like, oh...
We're going to talk about the Void stuff a bit more when I get to the 6.5 stuff, because I have thoughts about it there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy, they sure do make the same mistakes.
Okay, so they added Thordin's Reign, the Extreme version, which was my death knell for Extreme Raiding. I was like, heck no, I'm not doing that. They added Void Arc, St. Massian's Arboretum. That's a cool dungeon. And the main story quests, mostly... As goes light, so goes darkness, where we meet the one and only Kryll Meyer Baldessian.
Okay, Kryll shows up here. That's worth a lot.
The warrior, we have the meeting between Lucia and the dragons. So a tenuous peace is starting to be reforged between them. So this is more of the gears in motion for the Dragon Song War. The dark rivalry stuff is happening, and Kryll's particular, like, with the with the ether current stuff. So we're like trying to, we're trying to locate the missing scions. And now that we have Kryl, we are much better equipped to do that. We also, I think, do we meet, no, we don't meet Matoya here. We meet her in Heavensward.
No, I don't think so.
We meet her in Heavensward for sure. In, yeah. In Hinterlands, which, you know, also great. Anyway, and so we reunite with Thancred in this, which also means that we meet the Warriors of Darkness. So that's good. That's all good stuff. But that's kind of all it is. Oh, and the girl in the vault with the priest.
The guy, right. Yeah.
Was nominated for the Heavens Award. Did he win that? He didn't win that, did he?
I don't think so.
No, it was Death to Nidhogg that won that.
Yeah, Death to Nidhogg wins that, which is like up, up in a bit here.
That's next.
I don't know. I mean, this is, on the one hand, Void Arc.
Oh,
on the other hand, Kryl.
Yeah. I will say I'm excluding the diadem here. I think there's one person in the Discord that likes the diadem currently, but the old diadem is not the new diadem. That old diadem was ass, but it was also so like ancillary that I don't really want to hold it against this patch because they're just trying doing something weird for gatherers and whatever.
Is this a B or a C?
I think I'm sorry, Kryl. I'm going to say C.
I think so. I think
it's below
a
Realm Awoken. It's similar to Defenders of Eorzea. I mean, we might even move that up because that was more of an argument. Okay, as goes light, so goes darkness. Sorry, Kryl. 3.2. The Gears of Change. Now, this is a big one. Main story quest, of course, more Hildebrand. Awesome. Love that. If you know, you know. Alexander Midas was out, so that was the second tier of this with the Voltron guy.
Yep. I'm kind of saving like my big Alexander argument for the final finale because that's going to bump that one a lot for me. But mid tier
anti tower dungeon Sephiroth fight. So this is the start of the Warring Triad stuff as well, which maybe we want to talk about. And some more PvP stuff, system changes. They added the Orchestrion, so the jukebox was added. That's pretty good. And also Vanu Vanu quest tribe stuff. Whatever, the beast tribe stuff is like. And this time, this is the one that added the Vath, which is still one of my like top three beast tribes.
I'm reading the summary here.
Yeah.
And I have hit a line that I think explains a lot of my confusion down the road.
Mm.
Okay, can I just read this here really quick?
Yeah.
It says here, to restore Zodiac to his former glory did the Asians ever labor, and each calamity marked a rejoining in the obliteration of a reflection, a triumph of the dark. Seven times has this come to pass, seven worlds rejoined, their ether returned to the source, and the darkness stronger for it.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Numbers wise, yes.
Then what were they trying to do with the light in the first?
The eighth.
But that would have caused flooding it with light would have caused. Okay, we're going to cut this bit.
No, we're not.
Okay.
let me just read. So Emmett Selk was tipping the balance of light so that it would kind of capillary action, sort of like. The source would start to suck up some of the light from the first, and then it would like pull the entire first into the source, right? So then it was this whole like complicated equation of like, okay, this needs to be tipped in one way, and this side needs to be kneading the other way so that a reaction forms, and then the two atoms fuse into a molecule,
which ultimately will be a triumph of the powers, the forces of darkness.
Yes,
on the source.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you think the light and the darkness are diametrically opposed, but like the way in which the realities were shattered, certain shards were just had an affinity to an element, and the first happened to be more in tune with the light.
Got it. Okay.
Doesn't really matter what aspect the ether is. They just needed the ether back.
Okay. I still don't 100% understand this. It also does not matter at this point.
Okay. Maybe we'll cut that, but I'll explain it to you anyway.
Okay. The Gears of Change.
So the Gears of Change. We meet up with Minfilia. We learn about the Word of the Mother. We learn about the sundering of the worlds and the... God damn it. We learn about the sundering of the worlds and the plot to rejoin Zodiark. Right? And we also have the kind of meeting with Vidofnir in the town square where Estinian shows up and in Nidhogg form and attacks her. And then okay. Death to Nidhogg.
Death to Nidhogg. You know, Death to Nidhogg makes this at least a B for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I think the fact that they set this up, this whole Zodiac thing up in this kind of patch, and then slam dunked it.
Slam dunked it.
Like, that's like a call
five
shot.
5 years from now? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you're right. They
five,
didn't lay stuff out.
Ten
years. Okay.
This patch, no, ten. This is 2016. And
I guess you're right.
And 2021, so you're closer. I think it's, no, I think you're, wait, no, you're right. It's five. No, no. No, you're right. It's 20. Fuck, I'm sorry.
I just guessed.
No, it's good. It's fine. It's fine. It felt like 10.
Gears of change.
Gears of change. I'm going to put this at a B.
Okay.
3.3. Revenge of the Horde. The finale of the Dragon Song War. Fight with Nidhogg. Weeping City of Mach. God, that dungeon, that raid sucked. And release. God, that raid, that was so fucking, it was so hard. Everyone hated it.
Nidhogg's going to have to carry this patch, because...
Oh, yeah. And the Sorkai dungeon was cool, too. But system changes. Oh, now hold on. They added Palace of the Dead. This is huge.
Okay, what's Palace of the Dead?
Palace of the Dead is a roguelike. Roguelite.
What?
It's a roguelite in the game, a dungeon crawler, where you go down, you find treasure, you increase your ether pool weapon with each run.
Is this huge?
Yeah, because you keep... You get experience for your the job class that you go in as. So you like it's like a re
sure, okay.
You like reset your level, and then as you go deeper and deeper, you level up your job class, and it's really fun like for a while. But also, you keep your experience. Incredible way to level up your alt classes, and to also try them out at a certain level threshold, because you can queue up at level 51, and then you're like ninja 60 for that dungeon.
Motherfucker, I've been grinding out Dark Knight for like the last month and a half. It would have been great to know about this.
I can't.
You're right. You didn't need to tell me. I should have done some research. I should have Googled good ways to level up in Final Fantasy 14 and read some articles.
Now you do know. You've only done one class. You still have like eight.
That's true. I've got a lot to go still.
Please withhold your rage. You also probably did a bunch of other stuff that was really good and valuable for your character. Anyway.
That's true. Revenge of the Horde. This is the final Nidhogg confrontation.
Yes.
Very good.
Great. Really good.
A tier?
I think A tier. Not me. I'm going to put it A tier, even though I really hated the Weeping City Mach.
It's S tier without the Mach thing is the thing.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I can see that argument. Okay. Revenge of the Horde A tier. Frickin' Void Arc. Next. Soul Surrender. Patch 3.4. This is a good one, too. This is the big thing is this is, story wise, this is where the Warriors of Darkness get sent off. And that got a whole confrontation. But also the Zelfatal stuff with the Ixali. That was kind of cool. And Uriange's turn coding, and Alice comes back in this one.
I think this might actually be S tier.
This is S tier.
because this is also the climax of the Alexander raids.
Oh, it is.
Which Which on the whole, pound for pound, might still be like, if not my favorite thing, I think one of the most sort of impressive things from a
storytelling perspective. One of the most impressive, good, like kind of an encapsulation. If you haven't listened to that Alexander episode, go back. That's one of my favorites.
It is just, they just put a very functional, compelling science fiction story in this game, and it works and is enjoyable as a narrative in a way that other parts of the game, not always as successful on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I grade this game on a curve. Alexander did not grade on any bit of a curve, just good storytelling.
That was fun, yeah. We loved that. And the Sophia fight was also in this patch, which is cool. That was the first extreme fight that I actually did do, but I've not done that many of them, so I still can't judge on it. But that was the fight was cool enough that I wanted to learn it on extreme. I'll just say that. It's already at an S tier. We don't need to gussy it up any further. Patch 3.5, The Far Edge of Fate. The return of Leeson. Actually, not the return of Leeson. They came back last patch, I think. Maybe? At the very end?
Yeah.
No, actually, let me find out. Belzar's, and then Belzar's Wall with the Griffin subplot kind of coming to a close here.
Is this when Papalimo dies?
This is when Papalimo dies. This is also when Dunscaith and the Shadow of Mach concludes, as well as the Warring Triad. And I don't think there's too much else that's relevant to our purposes. They added a bunch of PvP stuff, miscellaneous. Oh, Eggy Glamours, that's cool. Summoner. the things to let you change your summoner thing.
Can I say something I might get in trouble for?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of emotional attachment to what happens in here.
Oh, that's unfortunate, because, I mean, there's so many big moments. I will say there's still cool moments. The summoning of Shinryu and the Omega fight,
yes,
was like a cinematic kind of bump up from everything else the game had done until
that
point.
True.
That was really cool, and Omega Weapon himself is very cool. I think, and Nero joining forces with us again in the main story. Loved to see that, but and while it was nice to get Ilbird out of the way, I wasn't particularly happy to deal with him ever again. So I feel similarly, and we've talked about the Lys Eda,
yeah,
not that twist,
not being a function. Is this a C?
I think this is a C as well. Okay. I don't think it's bad. No, hold on.
What are you thinking?
I mean, I might think it's bad. I really hate Dunscathe.
This could be a D. I'd be okay with this being a D.
Yeah, I think this might be another D. Some of the side stuff is cute. The custom delivery is being added, but
I think about Nanamo dropping that cup all the time. I barely think about.
It's hard not to compare the two.
I don't think about Papalimo's death that often.
And think about, 4.5 as well. And 3.5 and 4.5. The hook into Stormblood isn't that cool. Like, yeah, we got to go deal with that dragon, I guess.
I could put this at a D.
I could too. I think I will.
I think that's a D.
Sorry, Poppy. Poppy Limo. Okay, well, moving on to Stormblood 4.0. New content, all the new locations, Kugane, the Fringes, the Locks, new jobs, Samurai and Red Mage.
So I just want to make sure I get this.
Exceptional jobs.
I just want to make sure I get this clear in my head here. The Stormblood story break between 4.0 and 4.1 is at the end of 4.0, we have retaken
Alamigo. And Xenos killed himself.
And 4.0, and the patch stuff is when we deal with all the fallout from all the Yatsuyu stuff and everything.
Yep.
Okay, got it. Okay, I just want to make sure I understood where those fell.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Yatsuyu is still in Stormblood. Mm-hmm. New jobs, Samurai and Red Mage.
Red Mage, favorite class in the game, possibly still.
Yeah, really.
Fucking love
it. Chef's kiss. They've made some changes to Samurai. They've made it a little bit less fun over the years, in my opinion. But it's still fun. They've like just some extra buttons they took away and then put back, and it's kind of in a weird spot.
Yeah, like I have been surprised by how much I don't love Samurai.
But Red Mage has stayed really consistent over the years, pretty much. They've only added things that have made it even easier to play over the years. Anyway.
We're not talking about balance changes.
That's what I said at the start. I should hold myself to it.
We got the dungeons.
Yeah, all the dungeons are good. The Doma Castle, the fights with Lakshmi and Susanoo. Delta Escape starts, level cap to 70, whatever. And also, most importantly, for this patch, I think above any other patch, are the system changes. Players may no longer assign attribute points. You no longer have to go in your thing and like click up piety.
Wait,
whatever,
really?
And then have to like respec out of piety. That's the thing you had to
before
do.
Before this point,
for a little
in
bit,
this
yes.
game,
yes.
You upgraded your stats?
When I tell you the level of rose-tinted glasses this community has for Heavensward, there was so much quality of life crap, and I'm just getting into
That's
it.
That's insane. I cannot imagine it being a meaningful gameplay system to tweak your stats.
It wasn't. Parry stat existed, changed to tenacity, and accuracy stat changed to direct hit rate. That's right, you could miss! Hit chance for same level enemies set to 100% chance of miss now based purely on level difference. That hasn't changed, because that was a good-ass change. Critical hit rate, named just critical rate, whatever, just to make it less confusing. Job gauges are added. There weren't job gauges.
Oh, wait.
How
just
do you
like,
think you kept track of Enochian as a black mage? You had a tiny little thing in the corner, and you had to make sure your Enochian didn't drop. How do you think you kept track of your ammo?
It was
as
all
a
just
machinist?
Like buffs and stuff. It was all just like.
Actually, Machinist had a gauge, I think. No, maybe, no, it just had. Yeah, it was all buffs and debuffs and timers.
Okay.
It was so hard.
Okay, well, so now the conversation we need to have is this. Of the major expansions.
Yeah.
Stormblood is the one that I'm the coolest on in terms of story. Like, it's just, it's I think it's kind of...
Really? Over Heavensward?
Oh, actually, no. You know what? It's better than Heavensward.
It's way better than Heavensward.
You're right. It's way better than the Heavensward core story. I give Heavensward credit for the Nidhogg stuff, but if I'm thinking just Heavensward core... We just had this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Also... Of note, cross-class skills removed. You have no idea how bad these were.
Okay, does this one get to go really high up purely for like all the shit that it fixed?
Oh my god. So you had to, in order to be able to play Black Mage and Endgame, you had to level up Archer to 40.
Why?
Because you needed Quelling Strikes, which is a threat reduction button. And if you didn't do it, you would pull aggro. In order to play Paladin, you had to level Warrior up to 40. No, in order to play Warrior, you had to level Paladin up to 40. Why? Because Paladin had Provoke. And you needed to cross-class it. The system was trash.
All of the... I'm not going to lie. In my head, that sounds theoretically cool. But it's I recognize so not- that in reality, it would be a nightmare.
Just... Oh, God. So, like, having the lucid dreaming and the whatever else, the leg shots and whatever utility things, there were still some changes that were kind of awkward. There were still, like, things like protect in the game, which is some people want back for the nostalgia, but I'm kind of glad it's gone. It didn't, it was just an extra button, didn't do anything. But overall, that the job system to the job gauges and the cross class system, it has to be an S tier. This,
okay,
they made this game. They updated this game to make it so playable.
Okay. I did not realize the degree to which there were major functional changes in Stormblood.
Absolutely. There's still more if you want to look into it. Oh my God, Sprint!
Was Sprint not in the game?
No, but it required the use of TP. And TP was, which got removed, I think, in Shadowbringers. TP was a resource that melee classes used to use their skills.
So you could run up to, you, if you ran in a dungeon up to an encounter, you'd like come into it lacking in...
Sprint would set your TP to zero, and then it would slowly regen if you weren't in
nightmare.
Combat.
What a nightmare. What was this?
Oh, and like those are just all of these. And that, you think that's the nightmare? That's the A Realm Reborn stuff. Imagine how bad 1.0 was. Oh, no. Stormblood S tier. Good job. Thank you for making this game last as long. Like, this game would not have lasted as long without you. We salute you here on Stormbuds. That's why we named ourselves after you. Patch 4.1. How are we doing? Oh man, we are. This is a long episode.
It's going to be long.
This is a long episode. Look, what a treat for you all.
We're going as fast as we can.
Return to main quest. Legend returns, and also Return to Ivalice. Yep. Well, this is just the Royal City of Rabanaster. So that first part of it, where Ramsay was just kind of an asshole.
Yeah, okay.
And then the Bangaa part, I don't know. I don't think it started that bad.
You're right. Okay.
There were some, well, they took those quests out, but there were some really annoying pre-quests beforehand where you had to like go get some guys. It was basically another, go get me some wine so I can give you this thing. Whatever. I think they took it out. We can forego that.
The main story stuff here is mostly what? Just like trying to get El Amigo kind of unified, Lisa's leadership struggle, etc.
Fordola's kind of capture or like struggle in captivity.
Yeah.
With wanting to help. And yeah, Lisa was trying to build a country with everyone. So we had that cool duty with the Sri Lanka. What the fuck? Sri Lakshmi? Sri Lanka.
Look, it's understandable.
Sri Lanka.
It was like the syllables they're playing around with.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Lakshmi and stuff. So that was really cool. But yeah. And I think
B tier?
I'm okay with B tier. It was a serviceable.
It's fine.
Good stuff. The content was where it needed to be. And we were all excited. We were all really excited to see Final Fantasy Tactics crossover. That was really cool. 4.2.
Oh, we got more Omega stuff.
More Omega stuff, always good. And you know, the
introduction the Four Lords
and the Four Lords stuff started as well. And the introduction of our boy, we met up with the Otsuyu again and we meet our lovely Asahi boy.
This is where we eat Asahi.
This is where we meet Asahi. So you love to hate him.
Okay. But here's the possible thing. What if I hate to hate him? What really? If I actually just really dislike this character?
Oh no, he's great.
Oh, he's the look.
He's such a wiener.
Characters like Emmett Selkin stuff, I hated them for a long time when they won me around on them. Yeah. Even like sort of like, not even like he's a good guy type way, but it's like, oh, he's a functional villain type way. Acai is the fucking worst.
He's so obsessed with Xenos for what? You know what, like unhealthy person. He's just jealous of everyone and everything around him. Little rat. And I think that's refreshing. Not okay. Every villain has to be super convoluted.
Okay, I will go with you on this one. If you want to,
I'm not going to give it an S tier, but I am saying that like this was hard to revisit, but in kind of a good way. I was like, oh, I know this is coming. I know this little shit's coming.
The anticipation.
And his plan wasn't bad. It was a cunning plan.
It was
we're just overpowered.
It was cunning the way like a crow is cunning.
I don't know. I guess maybe it wasn't that cunning. Maybe I just like him because he's gay. He's gay as hell. I'm happy either putting it B or C.
We can do B.
Yeah.
You love Acai. We can put it at B.
I love Sion and I love Acai. I love Gosei. I love that whole. I really liked that whole arc the second time. I was like, thought I was going to hate it, but I really liked it the second time through. One thing that puts this up to B for me as well is the introduction of Eureka. Eureka is a field operation. It's kind of a new system where you go into this instance thing and you explore around and you get gear and rewards and stuff and like a dedicated level system. At the time, it was kind of panned because it was a grind, but it was also supposedly kind of a love letter to like FF11. And I really liked it. I liked the fact that it made you struggle and have to cooperate with people and like work together to take down these like big monsters that only spawned on a timer. Like I thought that hit the nostalgia. Like I've done Eureka a whole lot since still.
Okay.
So I think I'm gonna that bunch this patch up for me. Under the Moonlight, main story, side story. So side story, Ritter on a Lighthouse. I love the Ritter on a Lighthouse. That's the math boss. I mean the trial, Tsukiyomi's pain, the more Four Lords stuff, New Deep Dungeon, great for me. I forgot to mention something for 4.1. And this is going to... Actually, wait, where was... Hold on. I may have to cut this. I'm going to have to cut it when I say oh.
Okay, I just want to say my piece here.
Yeah.
This is... If there's one story decision that in hindsight has sat with me and like it's the kind of thing that I wish had been... Not handled differently, but the thing that I'm just sort of most frustrated by, I do wish there had been more of a possible future for Yatsuyu.
I wish she had more agency as well. I wish she wasn't sort of, she didn't have those memories taken from her to just sort of give her carte blanche to see like kind of live in this sort of almost an alternate reality mm-hmm. where Yatsuyu exists. I wanted more time with Yatsuyu struggling with her actions and coming to terms with who she is as a person. And how flawed she is as a person and growing, that would have been nice.
Like she just like the conclusion we end up at, in which like everything with Acai and she gets turned into the moon primal and all of that, like it's all technically dramatically satisfying that it gives her sort of like, you know, she gets her revenge and gets to kind of like not die on her own terms, but at least die with some measure of like
a little bit of redemption.
Yeah, like all that is fine, but like it's a spot where like it was fine, and if they had reached just a little bit more, I think there was potential here to do something really sort of interesting and like emotionally meaningful with that character and what her future could have looked like. And having it kind of cut off in that way kind of disappointed me.
Yeah, and I think the problem is there's, you know, where do you put that?
Yeah,
because what's coming after this is what's coming
totally
after
different.
This.
Yeah,
And I think the answer is you put it without making her lose her memory.
Yeah, probably.
I think that was maybe the biggest misstep with this, but I still really liked coming back to it. So for Under the Moonlight specifically, we also added Pagos to Eureka, which was ass. I said Pagos is the worst part of Eureka.
I don't know what those words mean.
Pagos is like the second chapter to it. If you've done Pagos, if you were there for Pagos, you know how bad it was, and they've nerfed it to hell, so it's like fine. It's just kind of a meaningless grind now, but they made Eureka much better later on, but Pagos was ass. But I'm happy keeping this either at a B or an A.
I think B.
Okay, we got a lot of B's, but that's what B's are, right?
Yeah, B's are right in
the middle of the road. The A's and the S's mean more when we save them. So moving on to 4.4.
Prelude and Violet.
Come on.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The Omega Raids are good. The Omega Raids are really good.
Omega Raid was good. That got me teared up at the end with Alpha and Omega going on their adventure. Speaking of, there's a quest in, I think, Old Charlie, and you should probably do. with regards to Omega. Anyway, it also added Eureka Pyros, which has the whole logo system, which makes Eureka fun again. Love it. I think it also adds more Four Lords. This is a Suzaku fight. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. I think the plot stuff here I'm looking at, like, is more stuff on the
step. Burn!
Yeah, that's right. We got the burn.
We got the burn, and we got, I think Gaius comes back.
Oh, right.
Gaius
okay.
and Maxima kind okay, of there. They're hinted at.
Okay, all this is in here.
And you know who shows up right at the end? It's Emmett Selk.
That's okay.
Actually, no, I think it shows up in 4.3 at the end, but like this is all the Emmett Selk stuff.
Sure. But still at the point where I hate him and think he's a twerp.
But that's great. The main story summary on the wiki is kind of weak, but also what's happening now? It's the call. The calls.
Do you remember the call? It's here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm getting my time stuff all mixed up. Okay, the call stuff is great. Call stuff, A tier. This is all A.
A tier. Okay, you think A tier.
I think A tier for
any,
this.
Is there anything else I can do that would make it impossible? Yeah, no, I'm happy with A tier. It's great. It's excellent. Yeah, no, the call. And finally, for Stormblood, A Requiem for Heroes, Gimlet Dark. Excellent. They added Blue Mage. Everyone was really mad about it, but they added it and it didn't break everything. So that's cool. It's just kind of like its own extra thing. That's neat.
That's like PvP only, right?
They added the Orbon Monastery, which was hard as hell. Cool fights, weird story, but cool fights.
This is all like the return to Ivalice stuff, which like
and
I...
End of Four Lords as well.
Yeah, okay.
Which I thought was cool, but...
End of Four Lords is cool, but Return to Ivalice was kind of not, and... I don't know. Is this...
I will say the last chapter of Eureka with the Baldessian Arsenal as like an old school raid. So I'll give you a quick primer on how I fucking love the ball. You could still do it. You can join the if you're still curious about how you get your Ozma mount, your mount of my girlfriend Ozma, this is how you do it. You complete the Baldessian Arsenal. And this is a raid that you have to organize with everyone, because the only way to get into the raid, you don't queue up for it. You queue up for Hydatos, but then you have to enter a portal that spawns in Hydatos, and only one person can enter any of those portals at any given time before that portal closes.
Wait,
so
really?
There's like 48 portal spots, and you have to like coordinate so that everyone gets in at the time, right? And if you die in there and you can't get rezzed, you might not be able to get rezzed. If you die in there, you're out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is old school raid
stuff. Okay, that's kind of cool, actually.
It's really cool. It's not that hard, but like it's nerve-wracking the first time you do it. But if you join the Eureka Explorer, is it Eureka Explorers or the Primal Explorer? Let me look at my Discord real quick. I've done it a few times. It's really fun. The people there are really nice and accommodating for new people. And also, they've been doing this so long that like their gear is all super permamaxed, and they just like melt these bosses. if you happen to have a mod installed that maybe in theory would allow you to see damage meters, even though that's not allowed, don't do it. You would be like, oh, okay, these people are at like
pros.
The way this system has let you it's Eureka Explorers, by the way. Join that Discord if you want to do BA. It's really, really good. They're really helpful. Tons of resources for Eureka and BA. We'll surely do an episode on it at some point. Anyway. The finale of Eureka, I think that's really freaking cool. They did something like it later that was not as fun in Shadowbringers with the side content. I think BA is still really fun to do, and that bumps this patch up for me a lot.
Okay, is this an A then?
Yeah. Good job. It was a good finale. And also, did we even talk about the main story? I just went in on about this.
I think the main story stuff is kind of whatever. I don't recall.
I mean, it's all the call.
It's more setting up stuff for the call, which like...
And the Gimlet Dark. So we had that one. That's when we get called, right? In the middle of the fight with Xenos, which is pretty cool. And Astidian comes back kind of to save us. And then there was that one fight that I forgot about with the weapon the proto weapon.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we were like taking control of Gaius and Astinian. Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
That was all really cool.
Okay. No, I'm down. I'm down with A. Nice. Okay.
5.0
S.
Shadowbringers. Yep, S tier.
Do we need to say what was in the Shadowbringers? It was Shadowbringers. It was the first. All the zones are the first in the story, and the Gra'hatia and the
incredibly ambitious idea to do like a whole different world, whole different everything, history, all of it. Like just
big subversion of the darkness and light theme, and challenges what everyone knows about the world in many ways.
I mean,
lots of plot twists.
The story stuff is so easy to talk about, and like we've talked about it at length. Do you want to talk about like the mechanical stuff a little bit?
Dancer and Gunbreaker are excellent jobs. They did kind of gut healers in Shadowbringers, sadly. They made them all really homogenous, and they've kept doing that.
In what ways? Like, just
well,
like
they just took
systems?
Away, yeah, any of the differences. Scholar used to have an AoE dot, and so did White Mage, and those are gone. Scholar used to just do a lot more damage and like less healing, and then they kind of made it not do that anymore. They just kind of made the differences of each class and put them all in a little box of the healer specifically. So it's been a little, and Sage didn't really do too much to break out of the mold in Endwalker. It's cool as Sage is, but I mean, Dancer and Gunbreaker are cool
Dancer,
as hell.
I like Dancer quite a bit.
Simon does say that as an S tier. We gotta move it.
Okay.
Because we have to talk about the Endwalker patches too. Oh my god, this is gonna be so fun. So fun. Vows of Virtue, Deeds of Cruelty.
I'm pretty down on the Yorha stuff.
Me too.
So like that's gonna kinda hurt it.
Frontline, the Hades fight was not like a new primal fight. The 0.1 patch is always interesting. I mean, it started, and there's no Eden stuff this time.
Like, the Shadowbringers post-patch stuff, I'm so high on Shadowbringers' main story, especially that final section, like, in Emirat. The Shadowbringers post-patch stuff from a story perspective, I'm, like, a little cooler on. It felt a little bit more like cleanup in some respects.
Yeah. Because we're just trying to get our Scion friends back.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to speak to like something I'm going to talk about with the 6.0 patches as well, but like it doesn't feel in the first like third or fourth of it, or like third to half of it, like it's really setting you up to hook into the next story or advancing kind of like stuff in the world.
I'm not like unhappy with it.
No, but it's like a C.
I think it's a C. Echoes of a Fallen Star 5.2. Things are ramping up a little bit with Elidibus here, but there is also that whole... Isn't this the section with the child? No, that's the next patch.
Okay.
We're dealing with... I think we meet Beklog last chapter, which is a plus.
That's the Anamnesis Anider, which I'd totally forgotten about until this point.
That was where we learn about Vanaa.
Underwater.
And the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff there. That was a lot of interesting questions that were asked in that patch. Not a whole lot of answers, but like...
I'm still kind of feeling C, though.
I'm feeling it as well. I mean, Elidibus is kind of ramping up there. Reflections in Crystal. This is a good one.
This is higher, for sure.
This is a good one.
I mean, again, Yorha stuff, but like, you've got Hero's Gauntlet here, which...
Hero's Gauntlet, great dungeon. I mean, Puppet's Bunker is, I think, my favorite of the dungeons.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seed of Sacrifice, Warrior of Light fight with all the whole... thing. And I did want to mention 5.2 also had Bazia, the first chapter of it's like the Eureka like, right? So the field exploration. It's I think a much more boring version of Eureka, so it didn't bump it up for me.
5.3, I am seeing here a Realm Reborn main story quest pruning and overhaul.
But yes, so they did the first pruning of the MSQ here. They didn't do quite as many redos of old content, but they pruned a lot. So that's really good. That's key. There was a lot of fetch quests that they were just like, that they just had to pad EXP back then because it was more meaningful to get to 50 than it is now. But no, they took all that out. All of it? They took a lot of it out.
Oh, and this is where we get New Game Plus also.
Yes. Also, they can mounts can fly in a Realm Reborn zones.
Oh, okay.
They didn't used to be able to do that.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they added this and this.
Wait, so it used to be you could only fly mounts in the expansion zones?
Yeah, it was weird.
That's very weird. What?
I don't know, so that's cool.
Okay, this might be like, this is like at least a B then.
Yeah, at least a B.
There's some cleanup stuff here.
I mean, yeah, the Elidibus moments were really good. Yeah, nothing else too nutty about. Now, hold on.
Okay. What?
Have you heard about the critically acclaimed MMORPG Final Fantasy XIV?
Is this when the free trial comes out?
With free trial of its award-winning expansion, Heavensward.
Okay.
This is when this comes out.
Okay.
We have to put this in S tier.
Oh, you think it's just for that? Okay, sure. This is S tier. Okay, sure.
F tier for free trial. Okay, 5.4. Good job, Elidibus. You did it. 5.4, the finish of Eden's Promise. Oh, so good. So this is Futures Rewritten. The cover art has Rin and Gaia on it. The next chapter of Save the Queen, which is okay. Mentoya's Relict, fun dungeon. Added some whole... there's not a whole lot of interesting system updates at this point either. I'm looking. So,
ocean fishing has new routes, bonuses, missions, and various other changes.
Yeah. They added Triple Triad Mahjong updates. I don't know if there's... Oh, no, I think that's just... Okay, I can cut that out. That's nothing. There's not a whole lot here apart from the main story, which is I think everyone is back in town.
And kind of getting ready for the Endwalker stuff. Mm-hmm.
Getting ready for Endwalker stuff, getting kind of missives from Charlian about how to actually best proceed to talk with Heidelin, because we're like, we need answers. We just got a lot of questions from the first, and there's only one person on this freaking in this universe who's left who can give us answers, because we killed the other three. I almost said two, and then I was like, oh yeah, La Habrea.
Yeah, this is a B.
Sure. I'm happy with B. I don't know. No, not F. G, I accidentally dragged
it. Are you thinking higher or lower?
I really like it. I really like the Eden stuff at the end, but I think that's all this patch has going for it.
I could do C.
I could do C.
It's just the Eden stuff.
Yeah. Sound off if you think I'm crazy for that. C for crazy. Death to Dawn, 5.5. Death to Dawn, 5.5. Main story, right? Everything up until Endwalker.
This is when like the towers first go up, right?
Yes. Oh my god.
So like I think good story stuff in the sense of setting up a good what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. What a hook. good stuff. The Tower at Paradigm's Breach, so final Yorha stuff. It ended.
It did.
Did you ever do the weeklies?
No, I don't think I ever did the weeklies. I need to follow up on this.
The very end of the weeklies is so Yoko Taro, both derogatory and superlative.
What does it delete my inventory? Like, what does it do?
Oh my god, that'd be so fun. Deletes your save. No, but you'll see. We'll see once you get there if you bother. You have all the time in the world. Diamond weapon. We didn't talk about the Sorrow of Verlet at all. This is this patch, I guess.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah, this is the end of the Sorrow of Verlet. I mean, that shit's great.
This is really good.
Yeah, that shit's great. We'll put that. I mean, the whole of that. I mean, we've been pretty high on the Shadowbringer. Good thing I put 5.3 in S tier, because that was in that was in there too.
In there too.
Yeah, Sorrow of Verlet as well. Oh my gosh,
is this also an S tier?
This is. I mean, maybe not. But this is where we get the pop sound effect.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is at least an A.
Yeah.
Like, I think I don't see a lot here mechanically. So like.
And I don't blame you for having these timetables messed up, because we did do our episodes not in chronological order. We kind of did them sort of saga by saga.
Yeah, like all the different like raids.
But could you have imagined how weird an episode was? Like, okay, we're doing 6.1. We're going to do like the first tier of this raid and then one of the trials and the story. I don't know. It would have been pretty hard for me to keep track of
everything. Very confusing to track. No. We did the right approach, but...
Cool. Thanks for validating me. The next quest, Endwalker. Yes.
S tier. Yeah, okay, S tier.
Come on. Added the jobs. Yeah, again, the expansions themselves do get a buff because they all include all those zones, but like, hey, they're also patches.
They're good zones.
Good game, good zones, good classes, good main story. They put all their effort into it, and it pays off.
They pull it off at the end.
They pull it off at the
great
end.
Great zones like the moon.
The fucking
and Razad Han.
And Ultima Thule.
And Labyrinthos, I guess.
Oh, God. Still an S.
Still an S.
Fantastic job. 6.1. Here we go.
Okay.
Listen. Oh my God. We're already at 84 minutes and we're going to finally start talking about Endwalker patch content.
Here, I'm not going to spend too long on each of these because like you said, there's not a ton in each of them. I'll hit some high level notes though. Like starting off with, okay. 6.1, Newfound Adventure. This one actually I'm pretty high on. Yeah. I think spending a lot more time in Radzat Han, which like we did not get to do a ton of in Endwalker proper, mm-hmm. very into it. Love the style, love the music, love the characters.
Treasure hunt.
Yeah, the fun treasure hunt thing. The stuff with Astinian faking falling for a scam so he can give money to the kid who's like scamming him out of the map or whatever.
Yeah.
Great. Dungeon is great. Boss is great. When the first time he spins you around and you got the little finger icon and you got to like navigate and not go over the spikes or whatever. No, I was actually, I played this one and I was like, hey, okay, this is good. I think it's at least a B. What is there anything good mechanical in this one?
Well, there's no field exploration content to talk about. And also there is, now we haven't done everything yet, but they did include Aglaia, the first part of the Myths of the Realm story and raid series, which you have not done yet, sadly.
Okay.
But we will get to general it, I promise.
General impressions?
Exceptional.
Exceptional?
Ha, best okay. Alliance raid, for sure. It's the best one. The Endwalker one is the best one.
Could this be an
to
A?
To play the first time. To do over and over again, it's like, okay, there's nothing for me to gear up for, so I don't really want to do this over and over again, but... yeah, for sure an A.
Okay.
Everyone was super hype about Aglaia. And also, yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about Pandemonium, but they hinted at it at the end of Endwalker MSQ, where the guy was like, ooh, and he was an Elpis. He was like, some talking about Pandemonium is awakening, or whatever the heck he said. Right? That's the raid. You can go do that some other time too. We could talk about it. I'm sure our audience will look forward to it. 6.2.
Okay. This is going to get complicated.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Everything, I like 6.2 a lot. Mm-hmm. By the time I hit 6.2, I was like, oh, what is Jerome talking about? These are great.
Yeah.
The problem is that they're going to introduce the character of Zero, uh-huh. who is very interesting. There's lots of cool stuff going on in 6.2.
Yeah.
And they're going to proceed to neuter everything interesting about her over the course of the next three patches and turn her into the exact same character that they have done like four times previously. Like, it's just kind of like a Gaia redux.
Oof.
Too harsh?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Just
full disclosure, we have not talked about any of this before this moment.
No, we have not.
This is all him. Okay? But he has mentioned, like, what is Jerome talking about? So... maybe I colored his perception a little bit.
No, I don't think so.
But I also know you. We've been friends for like 10 years now. And I'm like, I don't know if he's going to like it.
The 6.2 stuff is really cool. Like,
it's
the time
so
we
good.
Spend
you,
in the void.
And then
the
you, just
social,
never get, you can't go back.
The social ecology going on here.
Yeah.
Like, the monsters and how they, like, consume each other and imbibe their memories for, like, and then they'll split apart.
And they're all Italians.
Zero's Island of Misfit Toys, where all the fun, freaky, like, weird...
And Barbariccia, the hair lady.
The two like monsters who are in a relationship who like the one eats the other and then imbibes all of his fear. It's like Undertale. It's like the Undertale patch, basically.
Yeah.
No, like.
Also of note, the variant dungeons. Did you want more Nanamo Ulnamo story?
Is that in here?
Go do the variant dungeon.
Okay. Go do the variant dungeons.
You can solo those.
And what I'll say really quickly here is.
But we can do it together too.
We meet Zero, who is like the Void Sent, who was Xenos's Reaper partner or whatever. I don't fully understand. I haven't done the Reaper job quest. I don't know how the Void Sent stuff works.
Pretty neat.
But like. She is a character who like appears originally as like a weird mannequin figure with hands over their eyes, and then she takes the form of like, you know, a goth lady, and then she even says like, is this my true form? Who could say? And I was kind of like setting up, or are we setting up for a reveal later where actually her true form is even different than that? Nope. Are we setting up for a reveal where maybe she's actually like the long lost daughter of Ritra's sister dragon? Nope. Like, we're like all these different intriguing things that she is sort of
oh man kind of, we're not even there yet. Let's get there. Okay. I also want to point out that Abyssos and Abyssos Savage are added to the Pandemonium story and raids. This is like so fun for me because now I'm like teasing all the Endwalker stuff I've been kind of hiding, because like, all right, it's been enough time, we have to get to Dawn Trail. I'm going to show him the patch, I mean the image for Buried Memory. Who do you think that is?
Who is that?
It's a man in a black robe with a red mask.
Oh, fucking,
he's looking at the ceiling, he seems upset.
Why do I always get this wrong?
There's only three. There's only. I'll give you a hint. It's one of the three.
It's not. Elidibus?
It's not him.
Metzelk?
It's not him. Who's the third?
Who's the fucking third one?
Who's the third paragon, Alex? He works at Best Buy. No way. No way. That was the best clue I could have given you. He doesn't actually work at Best Buy.
No, I know.
Don't Google who works at Best Buy. Who's the other paragon?
La Brea. La Brea. Ah!
Yes, this...
Sorry, La Brea is... Why is La Brea in...
Why is he?
Okay, I gotta go do those dungeons.
Yeah, I know. So that'll be... Okay. That's the raid series, basically. I didn't tell you about that because I was like, maybe he'll discover it. I just wanted you to have some time to discover things on your own, and I found some good shit. So.
I didn't have time for that. Oh, also a reason why I like this one. Of the trials we've gotten here, this one has the hair boss, which I hate but also love.
It's Barbatsis. I always call her Barbatsis Extreme, but it's Barbaricha. or just Barbatsis, yeah.
I queued up for that one and got into it.
Chaos.
And the entire group went, oh good, DDR time. And I went, oh no, what does that mean?
God, the extreme fight is quite the dance.
6.2 might be S tier for me. I was very
It's really
high.
Good.
I was really high on 6.2.
Next up, 6.3.
Okay, here we go. Immediate plunge. As soon as Zero gets to our world, she becomes substantially less interesting.
Yeah. Tell us more.
Because they start doing the same sort of assimilationist thing. It ends up being this whole thing where it's like all she can really do is like learn from us about how much better our way of life is and experience like taste and friendship and trust and all that for the first time. And they're going to spend the next three patches hitting that note for her over and over and over. Mm. And just we've seen them do this with similar characters before. Like it's not exactly the Gaia thing, but again, it's sort of like we do this thing always where we find someone who's prickly or abrasive or who comes from different circumstances than us, and we just kind of win them over with our charm and our friendship and our willingness to be helpful. And that's fine, but it feels a little shallow at this point, and I don't know that Zero gets to do a whole lot that's interesting here or going forward.
She does get to eat that boots and has that cool moment where she opens up the dumpling.
She does.
And that animation looks great.
The bit where she really likes spicy food is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
And
she sees Astinian shirtless and we're like, okay. And also the subplot with, yeah, you mentioned Vreacher's sister.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that at the end, I guess.
But this is also the one that involves the most running around Garlemald, and this is the one also where I feel like the Garleans are being treated by the narrative in this really kind of patronizing way, where it's like they have these irrational concerns about us using the giant tower that turned all their friends into monsters to shoot energy to the moon. We'll just need to find ways to convince them that it will be no one's taking their concerns seriously.
Yeah.
It's just kind of treated them as like a obstacle to be kind of like worked around. This might be my F. If we've got one in here, 6.3 might be my F. This was the bit where I was like, I do not enjoy any of this.
Also, the next Alliance raid that came out, Euphrosyne, was probably the weakest of the Alliance raids in this patch. I'm trying to save it from F tier. I don't think I can. Oh... There's one thing I think that's really, really good. But
what's the good thing?
It's the tribal quests and reputation for the Loparits.
They're
crafters, though. So you have to have your crafter maxed to get to them.
Okay.
Or up to 80? Yeah. But like...
That could rescue this to D tier for me.
Yeah, the fact that that exists. And it is probably like the best one of these that they've done. Probably like top one. Because you really want to learn more about the Loparits, but like, we don't have to have an F. Anyway.
I can't see this higher than D. I was so angry while I was playing this content.
Maybe that would have been a good episode. We'll put it in D. We'll save you from the dreaded F tier. It doesn't even have to exist.
We could have done like a full episode and all five of these, I think, would have had to have been.
It was close, but yeah. If you've done the Loparit tribe quests, you know that those are worth having done. At the very least. But yeah, the MSQ stuff was background noise to me as well. I'll say that much. I think the Dark Throne is next.
Oh, no, here's where Zero starts eating spicy food. That's right.
Oh, my God. Listen.
It's okay.
I don't know which quest. I don't know. Remember which patch the spicy food stuff is. Either.
Oh, yeah. No, this is also when Astinian gets the... This is where Astinian does the one-handed push-ups.
Okay.
So even more stuff that we thought was good about the last patch, that's actually in here.
Okay.
So.
Well, that sucks for that patch. The Dark Throne. So boss battle that comes out. The dungeon, the Aetherfont. I do like the Aetherfont dungeon.
Yeah, the Aetherfont's my favorite dungeon from these patches. That alone might get like a B for me.
The finale of Pandemonium, I really like. It was nice to get the epilogue with Mr. Brea, as they call him, to learn more about what the fuck was his deal. the way they kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just gonna say it was nice. I don't want to color your opinion any more than that.
Like
the Voidcast Deus, this was the first fight with Golbez, right? This was the fight with Golbez.
Yeah, this is the one with Golbez.
God, that's right. They did the Golbez, and then they, okay.
Here's the thing: all of the story stuff in here continues to do nothing for me. Like it's not. It's like not even that it's bad at this point. It feels very tired. It feels like we're hitting a lot of the same kind of story beats.
I'll tell you why. Also, it feels a little tired to me. And this is another. This is another kind of Return to Evil-y situation where these are the kind of themes and characters that they're pulling directly from Final Fantasy IV, a 30-year-old video game at this point, which leaves, and that game leaves a lot more to the imagination because it's so low res.
Sure.
And it feels like if they tried to retell that story, like when they're doing things in Final Fantasy VII Remake, they're putting a lot of stuff in between the major story beats of Final Fantasy VII that keep it more interesting. And I don't feel like they succeeded here.
No.
If they're like retelling four, they're retelling, they're kind of switching things around a little bit differently, but they also have like, they've gotten rid of most of the supporting cast of Final Fantasy IV that was like fun. Like the twins in the four were kind of fucking stupid and different. I don't know. So I think for me, it also feels tired, but for a very different reason. But your reason about it being sort of the same thing we've done before also makes sense for me, too.
For me, like, this is a C unless the Aetherfont gets it to a B. Is the Aetherfont a good enough dungeon to pull it up?
What? No.
Okay.
I'm surprised it's a C for you. But okay. Yeah. If it's not as bad, it's not as bad. I mean, I think you're even worse on this than I was. I was
really
fine with it. Like, I didn't love it, but I was like, it's kind of meh, its own thing. And then it kind of like just sort of ends. And
we'll talk about the ending here.
Like we're like, just kind of, yeah, Growing Light.
The Growing Light, I think, it goes back down to D. Like, again, I haven't done like the 6-5, I haven't done the 5-5 stuff yet, but just, I don't know. I don't care. I don't care about Zero learning to embrace the light, and that like we go back to the first, which should be super cool and like, you know, this big sort of like thing, and we spend like 5 minutes there.
We go back and we
talk to Chynuz, and we talk to the Roxika, and then we're done.
Such a missed opportunity. Yeah. Oh, and here's, I might argue for F.
Really, for this one? Why?
Something that I just abhorred and never touched, never wanted to, and I abhor the existence of it, and it makes me mad that it was in here. Maybe I'm a purist, maybe I'm a big old fogey here, but the fucking Fall Guys collaboration.
Is that what?
That was Gold Saucer Update Fall Guys collaboration. This buggy, this fucking snapshot time ass game wants to do a collision obstacle course mini game? Are you out of your goddamn gourd?
That's so stupid.
It was so non-functional, and now everyone's running around with these Fall Guys hoodies. I don't even like normal Fall Guys. It's so annoying.
Don't let Red let you hear that.
He knows I hate all the games he plays. That's senior bud Red. You see him in the air. But I did get him on Bellatro. So,
other things I dislike about this thing, again in the story, there's the weird reveal about how the villain isn't actually the villain, but was his companion the whole time, and it's played like
God
this big dramatic thing. But
so
like
mad.
We have no context. Like we have barely any context. We have met these two people twice in the same flashback that Zero has had twice.
Yeah, here's the like it's doing a lot of the things that Final Fantasy IV did, but worse.
This could be our F.
I think this is the F. It doesn't have a Beast Tribe thing to make it up for it. And in fact, all the side content, I mean,
The Alo-Alo, the variant dungeons. Here's the thing. There were two other variant dungeons. One was last patch, and then there's the one this patch. And I think they got progressively worse, and because it was just like the same thing over and over again. And that's like the thing with this Endwalker stuff, is that it kept being the same thing over and over again. With Eureka, we got the logo system midway through with Pyros that just like allowed you to turn crystals into like different super powerful spells that you could enhance your characters and your party with. And then like you had to like manage this additional resource with your elemental wheel. I was like, oh, fuck, that's so cool. With Shadowbringers, at least we had the Bosiad stuff. I think Zadnor was like okay at adding new stuff, but like some of the story stuff was just good enough anyway. But like particularly in comparison to Stormblood, I want to say like the things that we ended up doing. Oh my god, I forgot about that. I forgot the Gilded Araya. I did that fight once. I've like done so. I've just not been hooked on this content. The finale of the Alliance raid Thalia is also, it's good. And I will say Myths of the Realm. I'll show you that as well. If I show you this, I'll show you what Myths of the Realm is all about.
I mean, like we should. That's pretty cool. Okay.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9,
oh god
10,
damn it!
11,
are we finally going? Is that where I'm going to finally learn anything about the religion that everyone believes in?
Laughed right into the microphone there. yep, that's that.
Okay,
so
okay.
Really tying everything up. Trying to.
We should maybe do Myths of the Realm as an episode at some point.
Yeah, but certainly. Either that or probably gonna have to do that at some point with Pandemonium as well as our own episodes.
At this point,
But yeah, this is our tier list.
I think that's it. I'm curious about Dawn Trail. Like, I want to know what, because like Endwalker was so good.
We got to recap. Okay. Just because it's been so long.
Sorry. Yep.
No, it's okay. In S tier, we have A Realm Reborn. I have to remember the numbers. I can like zoom in a little bit. A Realm Reborn 2.0, Before the Fall 2.5, Soul Surrender 3.4, Stormblood 4.0, Shadowbringers 5.0, Reflections and Crystal 5.3, Endwalker 6.0, and Buried Memories 6.2. A tier, Through the Maelstrom 2.2, Heavensward 3.0, Revenge of the Horde 3.3, Prelude and Violet 4.4, Requiem for Heroes is 4.5, Death Till Dawn 5.5, Newfound Adventure 6.1, B tier, A Realm Awoken 2.1. Do we want to change it? Like, by the way, if you want to change anything,
no, this is
Gears of Gears of Change 3.2. that image is obscured a little bit. The Legend Returns 4.1, Rise of a New Sun 4.2, Under the Moonlight 4.3. Just solid content from Stormblood there. Defenders of Eorzea in C tier at 2.5. As Goes Light, So Goes Darkness, 3.1 at C. Vows of Virtue, Deeds of Cruelty, 5.1 at C as well. I don't know why I keep saying it. Echoes of a Fallen Star, 5.2. Futures Rewritten, 5.4, which that was like a C/B.
Yeah.
Kind of. Maybe that was like a higher C. I should have said that before, but whatever. Doesn't matter. And The Dark Throne, 6.4. D tier, Dreams of Ice, 2.4. The Far Edge of Fate, 3.5. And God's Revel, Lands Tremble, 6.3. Is Dreams of Ice on the same wavelength as God's Revel, Lands Tremble?
I hate the Dragon Heretic stuff so much.
All right. Keeping it there. And finally, in F tier, Growing Light, 6.5.
I mean,
S to F, Endwalker.
Yeah, really.
That's really disappointing. But like, also, it's kind of... It's nice to know that that's contained and done and out of the way.
I know.
And Dawn Trail is something else entirely.
Yes, I want to know what Dawn Trail is. I want to know, like, they have the juice back, right? Like, they found something.
6.55 is the hook into Dawn Trail. And
okay.
It's fun.
I got to play that
stuff.
It's
really fun, yeah. Does that take it out of F tier for me?
I think on this episode, we are delineating it correctly.
Okay. Maybe that's unfair. If that's unfair, let us know.
Don't expect us to do anything about it, but you can
let us
know.
We're going to post this in the Discord. I'm going to screenshot it here and post it in the Discord when the episode comes out. And you can fight amongst yourselves Actually, you can fight with us and amongst yourselves about your tier list. And hey, let us know what your tier list looks like for the patches. We'll put the link in there as well. We can have a fun conversation about it. And that's what this is. It's just fun. We love Final Fantasy XIV. We loved our time with it. We have our ups and downs. We have criticisms of it, just like we engage with any art form. We're not zealots for this game.
Nope. It's complicated, but it's got a lot of good in it.
It's got a lot of really stellar things in it, and we're glad to experience it, and we're going to continue to be glad to experience it in Dawn Trail, which is a game we both forgot to mention in our anticipated games list, by the way. We are anticipating
it. I mean, I kind of went without saying, I think.
Yeah, sure. We probably should have said it, though, but it's funny. Yeah. Whoops.
I'm going to get one of them paintbrushes.
That looks so fun. That looks so fun. Yeah. Bless Kryl. Okay. Well, we got our bills out of the way this episode, right?
Yeah, I think
so,
we're good.
So
if you're listening to this, I think you've streamed BeamNG.drive at least once. We're probably going to schedule another stream.
Yes.
For like sometime in the next couple of weeks. We'll post about that as well.
Yeah. It's really fun. So we... again, as I mentioned before, the link to our community Discord is in the description, as well as our other socials. You can also, if you wouldn't mind, leaving some reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, your podcast platform of choice, really helps us out. We've been feeling the love, and we would love to continue feeling that. Really motivates us, keeps us going. We are completely an engagement supported podcast, and also a friend supported podcast between each other, because this is fun to do. But a big motivational boost helps us out along the way if you guys keep in touch with us. So on without much else to say, I suppose it's time we wrap this up. Born from Buds, Storm of Buds. We've been the Storm Buds, baby.
What a journey that was.